My name is Lisa Evans Deltori, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. I have been exploring Lifi Jowa, the King's Daughters, over the last year. We are on episode number 79. 79 women out of probably 700 that we will be exploring. This has been my special project. I didn't start off doing it this, but it just kind of has grown. I'm very excited about the number of followers and the number of people that have written me and liked the series, so I keep doing it. If you have a Fijawa that I haven't done yet, please, please put her down in the comments below or send me an email at lisa@haverootswilltravel.com. I also have a Facebook page and you can message me as well. A lot of people use the instant messenger. Also want to draw your attention to many people write me and say, have you done this particular one? Have a look at my Have Roots Will Travel website. There's a page on there with the Fijawa videos with a link. So you'll be able to just kind of explore that really easily. So check that out. Let's find out who we're going to be looking at today. Now, the Fijawa was a program established in 1663 by the Intendant Jean Talon. I have produced a video for this called Le Fijawa, the Program 2.0. Please have a look at that. It will give you all the ins and outs and give you some perspective about your particular ancestor. This episode, we are featuring Marie-Rose Collet. I don't know, there's something about that name. She's a viewer request. I do not have her in any of my files. So let's have a look at Marie-Rose. So Marie-Rose was born about 1646 in the small village of Epinac in the Burgundy section of France. This region is historically the one we refer to as Burgundy, where the wine is. Now, Epinac was originally named Monastoy. It existed since at least the 13th century. And by 1656, the Seigneurie of Monastoy was erected into a county. And then it was given, this village was given the name Epinac. Sometime in the early 1900s, it was officially designated Epinac-les-Mines because of its coal mining. And then by 1968, it reverted back to its original name. Now we know at Burgundy, which is obviously the main wine producing areas, all of the different areas, it's just an amazing place to regard. But did you know that it also is famous for Dijon mustard, for beef, or a certain type of beef, Bresse chicken, and the Burgundy dishes of coq au vin and bœuf bourguignon, one of my favorites. So, you know, it's really truly a gourmet's delight, if you will. So we can see where it is on the map. I've circled it. You can see the church where she might have been baptized. And just kind of just, I wanted to just say this is the city hall of what it looks like today. So Marie-Rose would leave for New France in 1670 after her father's death at about age 24 and had with her about 300 pounds. She arrived on La Nouvelle-France on July 30th, 1670. Well, Marie-Rose first contracted to marry a man named Charles Billoray, but she would eventually settle on François de Guire de La Rose. He was born in 1641. In the small town of Civières in the department of Dordogne in the Nouvelle Aquitaine region. I hope I'm pronouncing all that. Please let me know. I'm sure you will. If I'm not, the current population of this area is just under 3,000. Did you know that it happens to be the capital of foie gras? Well, that's always interesting to know. So I pictured this picture of the church. Is the Église Notre-Dame de l'Assomption, and it was built in the 12th century and renovated in the 16th and 19th century. So it's probably where François would have been baptized. And then you can see on the map where in France he's located. And this is just kind of like a bird's eye view on the left illustration of just how green and kind of village-like it is. As with so many of our Fijawa, they did end up marrying soldiers that arrived here. François would arrive on the 17th of August, 1665. He was a soldier with the Sorel Company of the Carignan Regiment. François and Marie-Rose would marry in the town of Saint-Ours sometime in 1670. Again, we do not know. We do not have the marriage record. So Marie-Rose and François would settle in Saint-Ours. Let's give you a little history of Saint-Ours. The Seigneurie of Saint-Ours was given by Jean Talon to Pierre de Saint-Ours, who was an officer of the Carignan-Saint-Ars regiment. And also many of Pierre's counterparts in that Carignan-Saint-Ars regiment also received seigneuries next door, if you will. So you can often trace the name of a town to the officer that stayed or was there. And the area was actually under fire from the Iroquois in 1691. And as such, the seigneurie grew very slowly. In fact, it was not until 1703 that a mill was built. So it was just one of those areas. I give you an idea of like that picture. That's the picture of Saint-Ours. And then we have also the picture of the church. This is present day Saint-Ours. This one here on the right is actually the manor of the seigneur. So you can visit that as well. And then just to give you an idea where it is situated on the map. And then we have in 1681, we have the census of François. And then we have Marie, his wife, and then their children, Luca, Jean, Marie, Pierre. They have nine goats, can't forget that last one, and 8 arpents of alors, so about 5 to 6 acres of land. So they would go on to have 9 children. Luca married Marie-Marguerite Ménard and had one child who made it to adulthood before he passed away at the young age of 29. His brother Jean-Baptiste married Marie-Catherine Ménard, his wife's brother's wife's sister, and had 5 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Pierre married Jeanne Gazelle and had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie-Madeleine married Charles Valade but did not have any children. Jeanne married Jean Boyer and they had 1 child and that child made it to adulthood. Then we had François who married Marie-Marguerite Venemont and had 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-Baptiste married Marie-Madeleine Coiteau and had 7 children, 3 of whom made it to adulthood. And Marie-Joseph married Guillaume Valade and had 10 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. François would pass away at age 58 on September 12, 1699, at the Montreal Hospital. He is buried at Notre Dame. At the time of his death, Marie-Rose and François would have been married almost 30 years, a testament to their commitment. Now, she would go on to actually attempt to marry that first fellow, Charles Milleray, once more, but once more it was annulled. I would love to find out this. You know, what's the story with these two? And then she attempted another contract with a man named Pierre Chantereau in 1702, but it too was annulled. By 1729, Marie-Rose and François would have 76 descendants, which is pretty good size. She would herself live until the age of 76, a remarkable achievement. And she is buried in Notre-Dame as well on May 7th. 1722 is her passing. So I want to alert you to some other resources for you to dig deeper into your research. We have La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which is a society I belong to. I'm also the membership chairperson, but even before all that, I'd be using that site a lot for my own genealogy. So have a look at that. See if that is a society you'd like to join. And once you join, you have access to a lot more member services, and you also get a beautiful certificate displaying your lineage. So have a look at that. And then we have a wonderful Facebook group called Les Filles du Roi Descendants, and they have over 5,000 now. Members, so it's a wonderful place to kind of connect with cousins and people doing different things. So absolutely check that one out. And also the website I use over and over and over again called Migration. I've put the links to the page. Honestly, that is your one-stop shopping for finding out all about Les Filles du Roi. Check it out, absolutely. I know it's in French, but I think you can translate. I'd have to look at that. I will. Note to self. So with that, those are my top three in terms of specific Figs du Roi. I have many other resources that I use for Quebec genealogy, but those are specific to Figs du Roi. And so once more, we come to the end of another story. Marie-Rose and François were definitely a couple that endured together and were absolutely able to produce a good amount of descendants. And for that, we thank them for their contributions and for, you know, being one of those pioneer families. So take care until we see you again. I believe this will be episode number 80. Until then, au revoir.